Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So this year, the election, the presidential election, has a pretty big backstory. And here's how you might text that backstory. GOTV meets BFF. That's right. The traditional get-out-the-vote mechanisms of both parties are being supplemented and in some cases replaced by the tools of social online media. The power of the internet to establish virtual communities, to engage people, to interact and follow each other, to comment on and discuss how to reach consensus on policy and legislation, the ability to gauge where the electorate is on a given day, also enhanced by social media, and the candidates get it. It seems in some sense that social media was made for politics. The Obama campaign employs over 150 social media experts. They reach deep into data available through social media profiles. They craft ads targeted at specific types of potential voters. And although the Romney campaign initially lagged in digital outreach, it's been ramping up its efforts as well. Joining us now to discuss this is Kathleen Hall Jamison, an expert on political communication, the director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, and the author of The Obama Victory, How Money, Media, and Message Shaped the 2008 Campaign. Nice to talk to you again, Kathleen.
It's good to be with you.
Andrew Rorschach joins us also, a technology strategist who has counseled political leaders, the founder of Personal Democracy Media, the group behind Personal Democracy Forum, a conference that touches on these issues, among others, and is happening right here in New York this week, which is why Andrew is in the studio. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
So how would you assess the transformation from 2008 to now in terms of the penetration of social media into the campaign structure itself, Andrew?
Well, if 2008 was about the advent of social media in politics, 2012 is about big data. And it's about how to extract the value of social media as it impacts the relationship between candidates, the way they try to raise money, the way they try to deliver message, and the way actually voters react to those messages and actually participate in the democratic process.
Kathleen, is there a way to assess how much of this is for monitoring the electorate, how much of this is for persuasion of the electorate, and how much of it is actually delivering them to the polls one of these days?
You can't really separate them, because if you can get people to contribute, if you can get them to talk with their friends and try to influence, and if you can get them, as a result, to engage in every possible way, you have an integrated strategy, and that's what both campaigns are trying to do. Once you're in contact with these campaigns are going to be with you through the election, morning, noon, and night, and they're going to be asking for your money as well as your help and your vote.
Andrew Rorschach, explain to me how this is basically a scalable phenomenon of something that we've seen for a long time. If you, for example, wrote a check for $100,000 to somebody's campaign or bundled that amount of money, you'd get invited to various kinds of things. You'd be constantly getting phone calls from the campaigns. In a sense, social media allows the Obama campaign and the Romney campaign to do this with even $5 contributors.
Right. So they figured out how to target, based on your individual dislikes or likes, of all kinds of things, sports, the environment, education, any kind of issue. They start to figure out now what's your interest. And then they target their message to you with that in mind, so that when instead of broadcasting one big message and one big theme, they're actually figuring out through social media your own tweets, your own Facebook page, the way in which you interact with them on email occasionally, or when you give them money. They can tell from the smallest word or the smallest amount of time that you're spending what your preferences are. And that way they make you feel like you're actually part of the conversation.
Or they make you feel like Big Brother has decided to come and live in your house. Kathleen Hall Jamison, in the old days of direct mail, you could throw away all the leaflets that would come into your mailbox. Is there something more intrusive and potentially disruptive about social media tipping voters into a kind of cynicism?
Well, it's not simply the social media tipping into cynicism. It's the prospect that data that you don't want them to have has been aggregated in order to determine what your political message structure should be. That is, what they can tell you that you'd like to hear in order to motivate a vote, and what, if you heard, you might vote against them. And hence, the micro-targeting capacity of social media has an enormous capacity to deceive. It also has an enormous capacity to deliver information you wanted to get, but that nobody else wants to get. And so there's an upside and a downside. I worry about the downside more than an upside, because how does the mass media monitor and hence fact check those deceptions if it can't see them?
Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. There's a terrifying thought, Andrew. Does the Obama campaign collect all of this data, use all of this data, and then essentially email it to the FBI if they get reelected?
No, of course not. But they don't necessarily tell us exactly what happens to the data after the election is over. And that's actually not just an issue in politics. It's an issue in our daily lives. All of us are clicking on apps or on websites and signing terms of service without reading them. We're not sure what we're giving away, and we're not even sure how to get our data back. There are lots of companies, for example, that go out of business. You've given them your password, you've given them your name, your email address, and maybe some other information, even credit card information. Where does that information all go? The Obama campaign is basically doing the same thing that we're seeing every Fortune 500 company do. And it's important to remember that the campaigns are not about building a better democracy. They're about winning. And winning, is the process and the strategy of winning is a completely different thing than just worrying about whether everybody's got an equal right to vote.
That's Andrew Rache, a technology strategist who founded Personal Democracy Media and runs the Personal Democracy Forum Conference that's taking place right here in New York City this week. So, Kathleen Hall Jamieson, let me ask you a kind of an academic question here. Is the Supreme Court one of these days going to have to decide? I mean, certainly the Constitution is fairly clear on government monitoring, whether the government can monitor you or not. And of course, in the commercial sphere, what you do in sort of the marketplace is public. But the government, it's very, very different. Does the government distinguish itself from the campaign, especially if you're an incumbent president? Does that constitute essentially the president monitoring you if he's looking at your Facebook page and determining all of your preferences, Kathleen?
The fact that we have this very, very large and largely unmonitored and unregulated structure is real cause for concern among those who worry about such things as the fact that I can't eavesdrop on you or wiretap you legally, but I can gather just about everything I want to know about you right now through big data mining. And so, yes, there are going to be debates about this, and in the process, ultimately, there's going to be some boundary setting through law.
Andrew Rache, who's winning the digital battle right now, Obama or Romney?
Right now, Romney's got a ways to go because the runway of data over time is stronger and stronger, and Obama's had a longer time to build a runway than to build up. And so as the data gets stronger and stronger, Obama will have a slight advantage.
The power of incumbency and the power of being first. Andrew Rache, technology strategist who's counseled political leaders, the founder of Personal Democracy Media. Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, author of The Obama Victory, How Money, Media, and Message Shaped the 2008 Campaign. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.